Let us pray. Lord God, mercifully receive the prayers of your people. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading is written in the book of Kings. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpa, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. This is the word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 32 responsibly. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, but whose sins are covered.
Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and his spirit does not deceit.
When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For the day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, that you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach you.
You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you.
Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you.
Many are the woes of the wicked, for the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him.
Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you are upright in heart.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
The second reading is written in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that I have preached to others. I myself, will not be disqualified for the prize. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mark writes, a man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the Gospel of the Lord. That you don't tell this to anyone. And how often do you suppose that works? Don't tell this to anyone. It certainly wouldn't work in Point Loma, where everybody would know the day before that this had happened. But that's been true most of the places that I've ever served. Word travels fast. Telling someone not to tell about something, yes, is rather like waving a red flag in front of a bull. It's just an invitation to tell her. This in Mark's Gospel, this curious thing, is often called by scholars the messianic secret. The secret that is no secret. The messianic secret. So something like this, Jesus does something, oftentimes a healing, or some other wonder. And as a sign of being God's Messiah, being God's chosen one, and then he tells his disciples, or he tells the person who has been healed or whoever, not to tell anyone else. Like this sort of thing can be kept secret. And people aren't going to blab it all over. works really well, just as it does in the reading from Mark's Gospel. Secrets, after all, are hard to keep, although sometimes we try. A number of years ago, a family friend of ours told me that his brother and his wife were pregnant with their first child, but he asked me not to tell anyone because they wanted to wait just a little while before they let the word out. So, of course, I didn't tell anyone. And then some while later, Dana, my wife, came home all excited and said, "Joel and Tommy are pregnant." And I said, "I know." And she said, "How do you know?" "Well, Eddie told me several weeks ago that he asked me not to tell anyone." And she pointed out to me, "I'm not anyone." Jesus could have healed me and told me not to tell, and I wouldn't have told anyone. I'm one of the two people on the entire planet who kept that secret. Have not lived that. That was years ago, and I haven't lived that down yet. I am reminded frequently how I didn't tell my wife. But we have to wonder here. We have to wonder why Jesus wouldn't want people to tell everyone they know what he is doing for them and what he is doing among them. Because whenever they do tell, droves more people come to Jesus from everywhere mobbing him so they can't even go into town, Mark says. And isn't that something that Jesus would like? Sure, it would become a burden, but wouldn't it also become quite an opportunity for him to get the word out? After all, nothing catches people's attention quite like signs and wonders. Being healed of some ailment, having what is broken made whole. When those kinds of things happen, it catches people's attention. In the first reading for this morning from the second book of Kings, Naaman the Syrian is seeking just such a wonder. Naaman is the commander of the army of Aram. Aram would be the kingdom sort of north and a little east of the kingdom of Israel. He is described as a valiant soldier and well regarded by his king, but Naaman also suffers from leprosy, which would make him an outcast in his society, no matter how many victories he won. There's some dispute among scholars as to whether what the scriptures describe as leprosy is in fact the disease that we know of as leprosy, that leprosy is the disease that created, for instance, Molokai in the Hawaiian Islands. But it really doesn't matter, because whatever the condition is, it makes the one who has it an outcast, and that's the problem, that you're an outcast. Well, when Naaman hears about the prophet Elisha and about his ability to heal, he gets a letter of introduction from his king to the king of Israel, and he throws in a rather handsome bribe along with it. That's what that silver and golden clothing thing is all about, hoping to get Elisha's help. He's desperate. The king of Israel, of course, is mortified about the whole thing, and quite rightly fears that the king of Aram might be trying to make a fight with him. Not that that ever happens in the 21st century, where the leader of one nation would try to pick a fight with the leader of another nation. But it does happen in biblical times, and we can kind of imagine it. But Elisha is cool about the whole thing. And he tells the king of Israel, "It's okay, send Naaman on over. And he will find out that there is indeed a prophet in Israel." So when Naaman arrives, horses and chariots and all, it must be quite an entourage and quite a scene pulling up in front of Elisha's house, Naaman is clearly ready for the show to begin. But what does Elisha tell him? He doesn't even come out of his house in person. He sends word out by a servant and tells Naaman, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." And Naaman says, "I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. Where is the prophet himself? I expected him at least to come out and meet me in person. Where is the wave of his hand? Where are the incantations? Where is the wonder?" The rivers back home are far better than all the waters of Israel. We have Abana and Pharpar, and you want me to go wash myself in the dirty Jordan? Which would have been a fair description of the Jordan, by the way. You want me to wash myself in the dirty Jordan? That would be a come down for someone of Naaman's stature. But one of Naaman's servants sees the light, says, if the prophet had asked you to do a great thing, of course, Naaman is quite accustomed to doing great things. That's how he's built his reputation, right? If the Lord, if the prophet had asked you to do great things, you'd have done it, wouldn't you? Answer being, yes, of course I would. But what you see is waiting for you in this small thing. What you see is waiting for you in this small thing. Go and wash yourself in Jordan and be cleansed. And Naaman does. And his flesh is restored like that of the young boy. That's the writing of 2 Kings. And here may be the secret to the messianic secret. The secret to the secret that is no secret. The wonder of Jesus' ministry, the wonder of his coming among us, has less to do with his ability to do signs and wonders than it has to do with Jesus himself being the sign and the wonder. It has less to do with his healing ailments and mending breaks than it has to do with himself becoming broken, himself becoming wounded, himself tasting death. There's the wonder. The Jesus who heals the man of his leprosy is also the Jesus who will be crucified. This Jesus who works the wonder will also be the Jesus who wonders aloud, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Where Jesus is the Messiah, where Jesus is the chosen one of God, is in his joining us, where God's Messiah, where God's chosen one could not possibly be. There's the linchpin, there's the key, there's the center. Where Jesus is God's Messiah, is in his joining us where God's Messiah could not possibly be. Joining us in our doubt, joining us in our alienation, in our loneliness, joining us in whatever pain we feel, in our bodies or in our minds or in our spirits, joining us in whatever pushes us away from each other. Joining us in our suffering and joining us in our struggles and joining us in death itself. There is Jesus the Messiah. The secret of Jesus the Messiah is revealed in Jesus the Crucified, who says to us today, this is my body given for you, this is my blood shed for you, this is my life poured out for your life. You see, those things, three things are set. Jesus Messiah, Jesus the Crucified, Jesus the one who spreads himself on the table for us. If you must tell someone anything at all, he says, tell them this. Tell them this. That I come as food for hungry people. That I come as drink for thirsty people, that I come as companion for lonely people, that I come as comfort for hurting people, that I come as least for the sake of the least, no great thing and yet the greatest thing. I come to welcome you here. Now, who do you think we should tell? We sing our hymn of the day, which is 480 in the Green Worship Book. 480 in the Green Worship Book, and it is, O that the Lord would guide my ways, I invite you to rise to sing.